Welcome to Island Baptist Church. Joe's lesson today is in John chapter 3, titled, He is Greater.
Well, church, good morning. We will continue in the Gospel of John. We are in chapter 3, and we're going to read the second half-ish, more or less, of this Gospel. We'll be reading verses 22 through 36. So John chapter 3, verses 22 through 36. I've got the New Living Translation. You got something different. That's quite all right. And once you are there, I'm going to ask that you please stand, if you are able, in reverence to our Lord as we read His Word together this morning. John chapter 3, verses 22 through 36. And the Word of the Lord reads as such. Then Jesus and His disciples left Jerusalem and went into the Judean countryside. Jesus spent some time with them there, baptizing people. At this time, John the Baptist was baptized in Aenon, near Salim, because there was plenty of water there. And people kept coming to him for baptism. Verse 24. This was before John was thrown into prison. A debate broke out between John's disciple and a certain Jew over ceremonial cleansing. So John's disciples came to him and said, Rabbi, the man you met on the other side of the Jordan River, the one you identified as the Messiah, is also baptizing people. And everybody is going to him instead of coming to us. Verse 27, John replied, No one can receive anything unless God gives it from heaven. You yourselves know how plainly I told you, I am not the Messiah. I am only here to prepare the way for him. It is the bridegroom who marries the bride, and the bridegroom's friend is simply glad to stand with him and hear his vows. Therefore, I am filled with joy at this success. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. He has come from above and is greater than anyone else. We are of the earth, and we speak of earthly things, but he has come from heaven and is greater than anyone else. Verse 32, he testifies about what he has seen and heard, but how few believe what he tells them. Anyone who accepts his testimony can affirm that God is true, for he is sent by God. He speaks God's words, for God gives him the Spirit without limit. The Father loves his Son, and he has put everything into his hands. And anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's angry judgment. The word of the Lord. You guys may be seated. We continue through the Gospel of John, and here in chapter 3, as we mentioned, the second half-ish, more or less, we come upon this story that really reminds us of how we are called to live our lives. How we should be living our lives completely surrendered, completely submitted to God, and not the other way around, not vice versa. We should always be putting God first, above everything else, and we need to be humble. Jesus left Jerusalem with his disciples and they went down to Judea. And this is where he takes up this ministry of baptism. When the disciples of John the Baptist heard, they went and they spoke to John the Baptist and telling John the Baptist that Jesus was baptizing more people than they were and that people were running to them, to Jesus, instead of to them. And they become a little bit jealous of all this. And so they run to John the Baptist and said, Hey, John, the one that you pointed to, the one who you said is the Messiah, is now baptizing people and everybody's running to him. Now, I'm gonna kind of inject this part here because there's a lot of debate on to whether or not Jesus actually baptized people. A lot of people will say yes and a lot of people will say no. Now, the Bible doesn't actually tell us that people were baptized by Jesus. It doesn't flat out say that Jesus baptized Jack and Jill in the Jordan River. There are a couple of verses that seem to indicate that Jesus did baptize people. But when we begin to compare Scripture to Scripture, we conclude that Jesus did not personally baptize anyone. Here in this text that we just read in verses 22 and 26, it gives us that intuition. We could also read Matthew chapter 3, and it gives us the same words, kind of saying that Jesus actually baptized people. But in the very next chapter, John the Apostle, the author of this gospel, says that Jesus never baptized anybody. Now, we need to understand that Jesus had oversight of his disciples. And because he had oversight of his disciples, it could be rightly said in our common language that Jesus was baptizing, but this work was probably done by his subordinates. It kind of goes like this. Like, let's say, for instance, you've got the owner of a trash collecting company. And the trash collecting company always talks about the owner as collecting the trash, when in fact, he never leaves his office. Or as if a king is mentioned to say, this king went and invaded this land while the king never left his palace. Kind of see where we're getting at? And that's kind of where we believe is happening here, is that because the disciples of Jesus, because the subordinates of Jesus were actually doing the work, his name was thrown around into that same conversation. And again, like I said, there's a lot of debates on to whether or not this is actually accurate. That's the best I can do as far as interpretations are concerned. Amen? Okay. Now, this didn't seem to bother John the Baptist. I need to fix this because it keeps moving around. I'm sorry about that. I should have done it before. Now, this didn't seem to bother John the Baptist at all because he knew why he was placed on this earth. He knew that his role was to point others to Jesus. Remember, we talked about that several weeks ago. We said John the Baptist was pointing others to Jesus. And it seemed that every time John the Baptist saw Jesus, he would say, what? Behold, look, the Lamb of God, the one who comes to take away the sins of the world. Now, his disciples, of course, were thinking otherwise. And sadly, this is very typical to us. This is something that is common to us. A lot of us like to latch on to our favorite pastor or our favorite leader. And this causes division amongst the body of Christ. It causes division in the familia of faith because we become loyal to a person and not to God. But after all, isn't this how churches grow? You know, Baptist churches, we know, come into existence because of this. Church splits equals church plants. Yeah, some of you guys got that one. But God is doing something here much larger than anyone can imagine, what much larger than any group or any church. And one of the biggest obstacles for new people to come into faith, one of the biggest obstacles for new people wanting to jump on board and get active in a church is ourselves. The way we as Christians, the way we as followers of Jesus treat each other. The way that we bicker amongst each other, the way that we debate, the way that we argue, and more often than not, more often than we want to admit, it's about insignificant things such as what color should the carpet be in the sanctuary? Or what song should we be singing? Should they be out of the hymnal or not out of the hymnal? You know, there's an old adage that I've heard before, and it goes like this. The reason that you struggle with your ministry is that no one hears the words coming out of your mouth because your actions speak way too loud. See, no one wants to follow anyone who is always sour, someone who is always negative, someone who is always carrying a long face. Ain't that the truth? You know, there are actual vital issues that we should be standing up for, that we should rise up against, especially when it comes to false teaching and other things like that. But like I just said, we argue about the most insignificant things like the color of the carpet, whether or not we should be singing out of hymnals or not out of hymnals, or should we be reading God's word from a digital device when we're in church? You know, many Christians today become so indoctrinated by the philosophy of this world that we tend to forget what loving others is all about. We start thinking about all the things that we are involved in And we forget about the world that is outside these four walls. And then we become to think this way. We begin to think that how bad is it of God to want for us to give up of something, to sacrifice something? We find that often strange. But Jesus calls us to self-denial. He calls us to humble ourselves. He calls us to put Him first. And over the last 2 weeks, we saw this quite evident. Last 2 weeks, we had over 1,100 college students from our Baptist student ministries come down to South Padre Island to serve other college students. They gave up of their spring break. They gave up of their own money to come down and serve. And not only did we have college students come down and serve, we had many of you guys come out and serve. I was here during the week and I saw a lot of you guys out there. Some of y'all flipping pancakes, some of y'all cleaning tables, some of y'all helping out with some of the kids moving stuff around. And praise God that you guys are willing to do these things. You know, these college students come down and they offer rides, they serve pancake meals, and these are some of the service projects that they do during the week. And these service projects of giving rides and feeding breakfast to college students really affords them an opportunity, really opens up a door for them to be able to share the gospel with these students. You know, one of the things that I was told over the week, and I had already heard this before, is that they are quick to go pick up the students when they get a phone call that they need a ride somewhere. They get out there really quick. And then whatever their destination may be, they drive at a snail's pace. And the college students are being offered or being given this ride don't seem to matter. They don't seem to recognize what's going on because they're having a conversation with these other students. And what these students are doing is they're sharing the gospel message with them. They're talking to them about Jesus. They are pointing them to Jesus. Last night, the final numbers came in. There were 16,027 rides given. There were 15,362 pancakes served. I ate four of them. There were 11,795 gospel conversations had. There were 9,198 people prayed for. There were 276 professions of faith. There were 94 recommitments. 79 baptisms. And the biggest number of them all, one, God. God gets all the glory. Throughout the year, several of you right here at Island Baptist Church have sacrificed of your own time. One of the things that you guys do all so well right here is your food pantry, giving out food to those who need it. But more than that, you guys really focusing in on the needs, because it's real easy just to put together a bag and give it out. But you guys go beyond that. You guys go beyond that and recognize that you have a homeless population and that those homeless people don't carry around a can opener or don't have the luxury of being able to heat something up. So you guys have a separate bag for people that are homeless in which they could have just pop-up cans or something that they could easily open up and have access to. And that is because you guys have given of yourself and you guys have taken this ministry to a level that is personal, to know the needs, to be able to fit the needs and to serve the people where they are at. And guess what? You can hear about this and so much more in our town hall meeting today at noon, about all the different ministries that Island Baptist Church is involved in and how we serve the community to fulfill the Great Commission and the Great Commandment of loving God and loving others. And of course, as Jesus said, I did not come here to be served, but to serve, and how we have that heart to be able to serve the community and the surrounding area. So once again, town hall meeting at noon. Thank you for the shameless plug. But as followers of Jesus, as Christians, as a family of faith, we need strength, we need unity, we need to get ourselves out of the way, and together we need to be focused on Jesus. John the Baptist said, hey, you guys heard me say this, I said it, I am not the Christ. I am like the friend of the bridegroom. I am glad that the bridegroom is now at center stage. I am content. I am glad by just sitting there and having a front row seat and watching the wedding and listening to him share his vows with the bride. You see, John the Baptist, in all of his humility, beautifully deflected the situation and turned his followers' attention back to Jesus. And like John, we too need to deflect the situation, and we too need to focus and set people's eyes back to Jesus, because he must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. He must increase, but I must decrease, depending on your translation. You see, John emphasized John's response here that the goal of the Christian life is to have more of Jesus and less of me. Self-centeredness, self-importance, self-seeking are encouraged and promoted by every conceivable avenue in our world today. Everything wants to tell us to focus on ourselves, and we can find the answers to everything if we just look deep inside of ourselves. But Jesus himself said this, and Matthew recorded it in Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. This applies to all areas of our lives. All areas of our lives. Sadly, so many of us only want to apply it to certain areas of our life because we don't want to be uncomfortable. You see, we need to deny ourselves because Jesus gave up his life. The Lord may ask us for the sake of the gospel and the sake of his call on our lives to deny ourselves, maybe from the comforts of our own home or maybe our own jobs. We may need to deny ourselves a relationship that may be interfering, that may be a barrier between us and God. Perhaps we're called to deny ourselves certain liberties that we enjoy because we could quite possibly be a stumbling block for a brother or a sister. Denying ourselves is not always easy. It's extremely challenging, and sometimes we just don't want to do it. But just because something is difficult, like living through a pandemic or a hurricane, doesn't mean that God isn't in it. He's transforming us into the image of his son Jesus, and as we decrease, he increases in our lives. Jesus becomes greater within us because that is what he is. And there's been this movement that I've seen over the last several years, and I've seen it on bracelets, bumper stickers. People have even tattooed it on their bodies. God is greater than my ups and downs, my highs and lows. You see, it's really easy for us to get wrapped up in our church, our ministry, and practically forget that there are people outside these four walls. But everything that we do needs to be about Jesus. We must fight to keep him at the center and at the front of everything we do. It's so easy for us to get a big head, thinking that we got this, thinking that we could do this on our own accord. You know, we begin to get into this comfort zone where we begin to think that we got this, that we know it all, because we come to church on Sunday mornings, we attend Bible school or Sunday school, or maybe we attend a small group somewhere, or maybe we've gone to this big conference and we've gotten all this knowledge and our head has grown this big and we say, we got this. How many of you guys have been there before? How many of you guys are there now? You know, it's really easy for us to fall into this trap. And let me admit this, because confession's good for the soul. It happens to me too. You know, I've got a pretty high level of education. I've got a lot of years of ministry experience. And my practice, whenever I feel this way, or my practice to avoid me getting into this kind of trap, is to put everything on God's plate. I sit there at my table and I pray over my plans. Notice how I said my plans. Then I proceed to ask God to give me direction. I ask God to recognize what is on here and make sure that whatever is going to happen is because that's what He wants to happen. Because we need to realize and we need to recognize that our egos can easily get into the way. And as I mentioned, I'm not immune to this. In order for me to combat this, as I was mentioning, I put everything on God's plate. I put everything on my table as I'm sitting there and praying. And I'm telling God, or am I asking God, God, whatever is of Joe, let's remove it from the table. And whatever is of you, God, whatever it is that you need me to do, that needs to remain here. And that's what we are going to focus on. Because He must get greater and greater, and I must become lesser and lesser. He must increase and I must decrease. You know, in my many years of ministry, I've had the pleasure of working with a lot of great people and a lot of great events. And one of the things that I've had the opportunity to work with is with the Texas Baptist Congreso program. And I remember one year I was called to be the stage manager. So my job was to make sure that everything was flowing. And the band that year just seemed to go over the time limit. And sadly, this happens in a lot of different arenas, not just this, where people will blame the Holy Spirit for whatever foul-ups they have. We had a timer on the front of the stage, so everybody knew how much time they had. It was decreasing and all that good stuff. And we had met with everybody beforehand and said, listen, guys, we've got a lot going on the program today. We need to make sure that you guys adhere to the time limits, because every time someone goes over, guess what? It becomes a domino effect and everybody else is affected. And because this is a teen conference, meaning that we're dealing with minors, we need to make sure that we're respecting their time. But more than anything else, we need to be respecting their parents, because a lot of their parents are going to come back and pick them up. A lot of them need to get to their hotels. And of course, we've got a lot of chaperones and adults that are moving these people around, so we need to be mindful of their time as well. So as I went to go talk to the band to remind them of the time limit, their response to me was, we were just following the guide of the Spirit. In working with school ministries and talking to people and sharing with them some of the importance and do's and don'ts about working with school ministries is understanding the school policies. And understanding that when you're dealing with students in a high school situation, you're dealing with students of all types of backgrounds. Non-believers, Baptists, Methodists, Episcopalians, Pentecostals, and Catholics, and the list goes on and on and on. So what I tell them is, listen, guys, what we need to do is we need to focus on the one common denominator that we all have. And that is Jesus. If you focus on the love of Jesus, you're going to be fine. But when you begin to teach your own doctrine, then that's when you're going to start to have problems, because you're going to be either offending or stepping on people's toes, and they're just not going to listen to you. They're going to tune you out. Well, this one person went in and started talking about demons and amongst other things. And so I get a call from the school, and the school says, we don't want him back. And so I talked to him and he said, I was just following the guidance of the Spirit. And let me tell you this much, guys. I truly believe that the Spirit is never going to ask you to do things that go against, in this case, the school policies. Because when this happens, it's normally our ego that gets the best of us. Because we know beforehand what is going on and what is expected of us. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to want us to follow those guidelines, or else He would not have sent us into those arenas. We need to allow ourselves to decrease and allow the Lord to increase in our lives. And what about on a personal level? How do we allow God to increase? How do we allow Jesus to become more and more in our lives and us to become less and less? Well, we do this by being in His Word every day. We need to be talking to Him every day. We need to be listening to Him every day. We need to be seeking Him every day. We need to decrease so that way He can increase. You see, John the Baptist was able to do this because he was humble. He knew his lane, and he stayed in his lane. He sought to do nothing but what God had appointed him to do. He knew it was all about Jesus. He knew it was all about pointing others to the Messiah. He knew it was all about paving the way for the Messiah. He knew that he needed to decrease so that Jesus could increase. So what areas of your life do you need to decrease? What areas of your life need to be pruned? What areas of your life need to become denial? Jesus is telling us this morning, I want to increase my presence in your life. I want to work through you, but you're in the way. Maybe you need to deny yourself. Maybe you just need to drop that attitude. Maybe you need to open up your heart to that brother, that sister that's been asking for some time or that's been crying out to you. Maybe, just maybe, you need to let go of a certain position. Or maybe you need to withdraw yourself from a certain situation. I don't know what it may be. Maybe you need to come and serve. You know, like I mentioned, a lot of you served this last week, which means a lot of us didn't. Maybe we need to find somewhere where we can begin to serve. You know, like as we mentioned at the Tall Hall meeting today, we're going to talk all about the missions program and all about the different ways that we serve the community. Then that you could come and learn a little bit more, and you can come find a way that you can serve. See what it is that the Lord is making you go in which direction. Maybe you just need to pick up the phone and make that call to that person that the Lord has been laying on your heart. Because as we let Jesus increase in our lives, we will begin to decrease. And then you'll begin to see just how blessed you really are. Dr. Julio Guarnetti, the executive director of Texas Baptist, who preached last week, said this in an email to the staff this week. He said, "Eternity will be different because students and leaders are choosing to focus on the main thing, loving people and sharing Christ. That is what we are all about." You see, the BSM students this week, they gave up of their spring break. They gave up of their time. They gave up of their own money to come and serve because they had to pay for their lodging and for their meals and for their transportation to get down. They gave up. They sacrificed to be able to reflect Jesus to this lost and dying world. So what is it that we are willing to change? What is it that we are willing to deny? What is it that we are willing to do to allow Jesus to increase in our lives so that we may decrease, so that eternity can be changed forever? Let us pray. So, Father, as we exit this place, may we spend some time this week just trying to hear your voice, so that we can be obedient to that which you have called us to do. And again, always, Father, we just pray for those that aren't here for whatever reason. Father, we lift up Les to you, who's in the hospital this morning. I found that out last night. May your healing hand be upon him, and may you be with the doctors as they tend to his needs and try to figure out what it is that they need to do to get him back onto the road of recovery. And be with his wife as well, as she's at home battling the flu. And again, Father, as always, may we just, again, be light and salt upon this community. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for visiting. Find us at www.islandbaptistchurch.org.